Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation Panel call on 20th of June 2019. In the call, we have Bill, Marjana, Dennis, Hassan, Matt, and Pitinan. Over to you, Marjana.
Okay, I just have to say one sentence to ask Dennis to take the lead because all the other things are clear at this moment. So please, Dennis, could you take the lead?
Sure. Thank you, Mirjana.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you.
Okay, so yeah, let me share the screen here. Let's see. Yep, this one. All right, so first, let's quickly review the schedule and see where we are relative to our action items. Do you see the full screen or are you looking black boxes as well?
No, we see the full screen. At least I see the full screen.
I see the screen.
Okay, you're not looking, yeah, okay. So I received a few inputs as far as scheduling, availability. So the first on is Michael. Said that he probably will have his non-visual thing next week, but he said he's not gonna be able to attend. So I think we will need to move this, what is highlighted in yellow, to the following week at least. So there's that. So basically next week, we don't have anything to discuss as of now, since we need to move this here as well. So for the moment, just for the sake of conversation, I'm moving all these items. Let me see if Michael is in that week. Yeah, so Michael shows a week. So we remove this. Okay, so you will be like that. So what could we discuss next week? Sharp S, we cannot because Michael is not present and he requested that he be present when we discuss this. And the following week, or the week of the 1st of July, I'm off, so we cannot look at those either. So the only items that are ready for review are the stacking issues and the Sharp S and the stacking issues. I mean, we cannot push that forward because Bill is going to be absent the following 2 weeks, and that's what the red means. So, but we could bring it, sooner. And maybe we can look at those next week so that we don't lose momentum.
Dennis?
Yes.
The problem is I'm going to be at ICANN next week as well, so I'm also not available that week.
That's true. Let me put that here. Okay, so looks like next week we need to pass because we don't have nothing readily available to discuss.
That's assuming we get through everything we've got on the schedule for this week.
And
which I think we can, but we've had some challenges on occasion.
Right. But now, Bill, that you mentioned you're going to be on ICANN, so potentially not able to attend. Who else is on ICANN that is not going to be able? I think Michael said he's going to be at
Michael.
ICANN. So, yeah, Michael. Not able to attend the one.
I believe we're only two, however.
Yeah, it's only two. Yes, that's right. But again, I mean, you own the stacking issues, so if you're not planning or it's going to be difficult to attend, I mean, we cannot see that next week. again, so we have, maybe what we can do is just to skip that week and regroup the following week. But again, on the week of 1st of July, I'm not, so somebody else have to carry on the water for me.
I think we can manage that.
Yeah, so Michael says that he may be able to, so what you need to confirm is that Michael is ready to discuss that on that week, and there is enough material for you to review in advance and have a minimal discussion in that session. So what I'm going to do, I want to leave Michael on that week, and I'm going to move non-visual. Still, there is no owner, so somebody want to take it, please. Oh, okay, so now, so this visual analysis will have to be later on. So here. Okay. Okay, so what we're saying is next week we take it off. We Latin GP regroups on the week of July 1st, which is 1st, 2nd, 3rd, on the 4th. No, but Bill, well, the 4th is, I'm completely off, but I don't know, Bill, are you planning to attend on the 4th?
Yes, I was. I have things I'm doing, but not until much later in the day. So the 4th is fine for me.
Okay, and the rest of the team, I think the 4th is just normal day. So the Latin GP will regroup on the 4th of July and discuss non-visual things, provided Michael is ready to lead that discussion. So in that case, what we need to, I think we still need to adjust this. We're basically putting this on with, but now, so everybody sees that, I mean, this is not automatically, of course, so we're moving 1 week to the right, so that means things may be pushed later into the year. I need to reconcile this, whether we can make it or not. I mean, looks like there is some buffer, there was some buffer here, and we could still managed to start the programming of the LGR by the first week of August. But I mean, that's best case scenario, right? If nothing moves, and from this point forward, we can meet the dates and do not delay any longer any other stuff. So if that's
Bettina, yes. Here, I would like to, yes, Bettina. Yes. I just want to point out that on the item 2.3, 2.4, I plan to start working on 2.1 and 2.2. So I start working on those along when you guys are finalizing the text. So I guess we can probably have 1 week back from that. I feel like we can combine the 2.3, 2.4, 2.5 in probably 1 week.
And so the whole program, so what you're saying is the whole programming of the XML, I mean, that's on you.
Right, right. Two,
which is basically this part, right? So from 2.1 to 2.4.
Right. So when you finalize the you got conclusion already by the end of the week of 15. Mm-hmm. And while you are finalizing the text in detail, I can start capturing those conclusion into the XML right away. So we can gain back a week or two from there.
No. Okay. Let's back it. Let's back it again. So as of now, we are. Let's see. So as of now, the analysis, it's looks like it's gonna be done by this by late mid to late July, so the 20 something of July. Mm-hmm. And from there, we need to, that's the analysis, we need to write up the proposal, the tables and stuff to populate all the things here. So this is this population, 1, 2, 2, we need to move. Because if we're missing here, probably this is going to be here. At least in that week, right? If we finalize a visual analysis on, let's say we finalize on 1 hour, right, on the session on that week, we finalize the visual analysis. I'm not confident that we will do that, but let's say best case scenario, we do that that week. On the following week, we can populate the variant table, which is the requirement to start the programming. So that will match to 2-1 to 2-2, right? And then from there, review the LGR tool output, repertoire and variance test. Yeah, so that would be first to transfer all the things, review the LGR and work. So yeah, are you saying that you can do this all on 1 week?
I think it still seems possible because all the code points is already there. And I actually start capturing the variant part that is the clear case already. So hopefully, gradually, I start building up along when the conclusion starting to close. Mm-hmm. And by the time that we finalize everything, then probably it's one or two tables that have to convert.
Mm-hmm. But okay. Yeah,
so I think it should be workable by this.
Okay. Yeah. But again, I mean, this is best case scenario, right? I mean, looking at this revised schedule and based on the experience working on these issues, I'm not confident that we were gonna hit this mark. So I'm not convinced to make this schedule further. I mean, does anybody have any other opinion?
I think you're right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, just looking at this schedule as is, this put us at having IP review complete, given their 9-week request to late October. So that's basically at the outset of the last meeting of ICANN the year. So that's probably not going to happen if we wanted to have a face-to-face. I don't think that's going to happen. So we will need to look at somewhere December, I think, because at least in my personal calendar, November is already booked with other things that I need to attend. So just to something to think about, for now we need to focus on finalizing the analysis. All right, so any other input on the schedule? Okay, so hearing none, let's move on to the next item on the agenda. So quickly go on the underlining analysis. I think there was some comments on the email mailing list, and those were sorted out, so we can finalize this. Bill, I'm pointing to you.
Yeah, two things. One, I want to really thank Matt for figuring out why the median function was not working properly. I was totally at a loss, and I really appreciate that. I have made the adjustments now that it's working properly. I do still have the question I raised in my email about the circumflex below. it seems to me if it's a variant in most cases, it ought to be a variant in all cases just for consistency. Does anyone have a different view?
Let me see if anyone on the raising hands. No, if not, I'm going to put myself on the queue. So I think we would need to do is to apply the same methodology, right? Not just transfer the results over without do analysis. That's my opinion. Max, your hands up, please go ahead.
Yes, I think that we have to treat them one by one because the way the different marks are applied are so different depending on the letter. So I don't think that we should say that just because most of them are circumflex are variants, then all of them are.
Thank you, Max. Bill?
Yeah, I can certainly add an additional set of three rows for that if everybody will endeavor. I will get that done before the end of today, and if everybody tomorrow will go through and mark those, then we'll essentially be ready to finalize this, I believe.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so with that out of the way, let's move on to the next item. Dotless I, that's the next item in the agenda, right? Somebody can help me with.
Yes. Next agenda is the dotless I.
Thank you, Bitinan. So that's your cue, Mats. Please, can you just recap the issue and the brief analysis. I mean, I trust that people already review it, but I mean, just so that we are all on the same page, please, Mats, take it from here. Mats, you are on mute if you're speaking.
I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. Peter, if you... Yeah, well, if we see in the bottom of the page, we see the four letters or the four code points that are in question. So we have the small letter I, the capital letter I, the small letter dotless I, and the capital letter I with dot above. So if we scroll down, can you scroll down a little bit, Peter? So we see that... In most locales, a small letter I is treated as a small letter to capital letter I, and if the upcase small letter I, we get the capital letter I, and if we downcase capital letter I, we get the small letter I. Small letter dotless I in most locales is upcase to capital letter I, but then that is as on the first row is downcase to small letter I. So upcasing, downcasing does not get the same letter back. If we have the capital letter I with dot above, and downcase that, we get small letter I, but that is upcase to capital letter I. So that is how it's treated in most locales. But then we have two areas. If you could scroll down to the next table. Thank you. That is the situation for Turkish and Syri. And there they use dotless and dotted as two different letters. So small letter I is upcased to capital letter I with dot above. And if we downcase that, we get the small letter I back. And the small letter dotless I is upcased to capital letter I. And that one is downcased to small letter dotless I. So this means that if we start with a capital letter, if we start the capital letter at I and downcase that, we get different small letters depending on what locale we have. So if it's a Turkish locale versus most other locales. Even though capital letters are not directly part of IDN 2008, we have the firstly we have the behavior in web browsers. Secondly, we have a connection to IDN 2003, which actually encoded the downcasing. And thirdly, we also have for IDN 2008, actually an RFC that recommends that you should do some normalization before you go into the IDN 2008 process. So the conclusion is that the treatment of a capital letter I is inconsistent depending on locale. And we should therefore, to be conservative, treat small letter I and small letter dotless I as variants to avoid the situation where the capital letters with the locales could steer into different domain names. So, yes.
No, so what you just said, that's even though we declare the invariance, the behavior will still exist. So what are we solving for declaring the invariance?
Yes, the behavior still exists, even if we declare invariance. But if we declare them as variants, then you will never end up in another domain name. You might get a problem that you don't end up into a valid domain name, but at least you don't end up into something else. So you might end up into unregistered domain name. So you get an error.
Right. What but, I think ESA defines as a denial of service, because you are effectively, yes, you're redirected to a domain name that does not exist because it was block variant and reserved, right? The domain, yes, name that does not exist. But misconnection will not occur because.
Right. Mm-hmm. So denial of service is still possible. Otherwise, we would have to change the IDNA behavior or make the web browser industry do something about the treatment of eyes, which I don't think we could. So yeah. There's still a risk.
Right. Correct.
Risk.
Yeah, we cannot mitigate, we cannot remove the problem altogether. We just can't mitigate. And for completeness, I think we need to discuss on the paper all the options which could be. I mean, not saying that that's what we recommend, but for completeness, to show IP that we've considered removing I, removing dotless I from the repertoire. But of course, removing I, that will create a problem of backward compatibility with the rules on IGR and existing TLDs. And even introducing I, the behavior will exist. So variant is the logical best alternative of everything. And I'm going to pause there. And Bill has patiently waiting. So Bill, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think the way I would agree with Matt, but the way I would phrase it is, it isn't that we have a denial of service. I think that's an overstatement. But what we are doing, or at least trying to do, is make phishing attacks keep phishing attacks from happening. And I mean, that's what we're doing with all of the variant designations, is to keep people from going to the wrong place. And if you try to go someplace and simply can't get there because it's not a valid domain name that way, I don't see that that's really all that much of a problem. Thank you.
Well, that's not what I meant by denial of service. I don't know if Dennis meant that, but what I meant was that if your system will downcase to something which does not exist, instead of downcasing to something that does exist, then you get a denial of service, because it downcased to the wrong thing, the unexpected thing. The fact that we don't permit the registration of both, I don't know, do they call that denial of service? Dennis, is that what you meant by denial of service, that you cannot register both?
Well, denial of service is a, just on SAC 060, right? It's when the user attempts to visit one domain name that he thinks is a variant of something, but the connection does not work. I'm just now reading verbatim from the report. Connection does not work, and between parentheses, lookup fails because Y, which is a label, is either blocked, withheld, or X has no variant at all. An example, and you know, well, you can read it. But basically, because the domain name does not exist or is withheld from registration, and yeah, misconnection is where you actually go to you fall onto a domain name or a full website, right? That you did not expect, right? So
I wouldn't say that we are causing denial of service,
yeah,
by blocking. That's not denial of service. But for a user, it could be a denial of service if their system downcases to something else.
No, exactly. I'm not saying we are doing that, but we are mitigating the issue so that there is no misconnection, but the denial of service will still occur because a foreign source, I mean, the application is treating or mistreating the label.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, in this case, I don't think we can avoid the behavior.
Right. So Bill, your suggestion was that I should elaborate the text with the different logically possible solutions to handle this situation.
That was Dennis's suggestion, but yes, I agree.
Yeah, Dennis suggesting, I meant.
Yes, I did. Just to show completeness, right? That we went from all the way to remove the behavior altogether, but in practicality, we cannot remove I from the repertoire because of backward compatibility for existing TLDs. And when you introduce I, you're again introducing the behavior, and therefore the only way to mitigate that behavior is to introduce a Banyan block so that we don't have misconnections, but denial set will still exist. And therefore the recommendation is what basically is on the paper.
Well, I mean, even if we removed dotless I from the repertoire, we wouldn't change the situation because it would have the same behavior in the browser.
Right. I was skipping that part, but I was saying the most conservative one to remove the behavior altogether would be to remove letter I and dotless I from the repertoire. But we cannot do that. I mean, just starting with letter I, we cannot do that because of backward compatibility. And just by introducing letter I, the behavior will exist. And therefore...
Right, but the behavior would exist even if we don't have it. So they would have this down case situation.
No, if you don't have those letters, the behavior doesn't exist because there is no right label that will use those.
Right. Okay. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mirjana, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing. Could we try to find a different term for this situation? Because usually denial of service is connected with some denial of service attacks. And maybe people reading our text want to understand properly what we were written. So this misconnection or some other term to use in this context.
I agree, because I also feel that
denial of service is a little bit too strong, because you have this denial of service attacks, and usually people are thinking that someone is attacking and you have to fight against it somehow. My first idea was like this, although I'm pretty long time with the internet. So my suggestion is to find similar thing to explain what is happening when we have this situation. Thank you.
I just want to quickly react to that, and I kindly disagree. Denial of service and misconnection are defined in SAC 060, and we can refer those definitions back in that report, so there is no confusion as to what we are talking about.
I think we shall get a lot of comments about this, using this term, but I don't mind. It is not, text is not finished until it passes public comments, so we shall see what will happen. Nobody is reading RFCs, you see.
It's not an RFC, Mirjana.
Sorry, whatever document you quoted. Sorry, I didn't remember.
I don't like to invent or recreate the wheel. We can use readily available definitions. We should do so. I have a long list now. Bill Hassan and Mats.
Hassan, before me.
Yeah, I would say. However, the term is formally defined. In the interest of communicating, we need to recognize how it is used in general use, which, as Mirjana says, is in relation to actual attacks. Perhaps rather than denial of service, if we said something like failed connection, we wouldn't be doing violence to the existing definitions, but we'd also communicate more clearly, I think.
Hassan, please.
Yes, I would just say the same as Bill. The first thing that came to my mind when I heard the denial of service was the attack. So maybe it could be something more more to the connection, that it's not connecting or unsolvable or something like that. That's it.
Mats?
Yeah, so besides some smaller comments on the text, the only comment I've heard so far is that Dennis suggests that there is more elaborated discussion about logical possible solutions.
Yeah.
So I will add that to the text before next meeting. I will circulate that on email. So does anyone else have any other comments that you want to add?
No, not from me.
No.
And I've seen, Dennis, you want to have the Unicode codes printed all over. I suggest that we don't have that, because I think it's hard to read the text, and they are given in the top, and I I think.
Yeah, I don't feel strongly, Mats, about that, so I'll just remove them.
Because I feel it makes it harder to read the text.
Right, right. That's okay. I don't feel strongly about putting the corpus in those tables.
And I agree with you on the last phrase there, which has already been judged to be of other reasons in section 6.6, that it shouldn't be there. We should not, this should be stand on its own, independent on the judgment of I and dotless I in other contexts.
Agree. Bill, your hands up.
Yeah, I would say, while I would agree to removing the Unicodes from the text, I would definitely like to see them included, you know, maintain the inclusion in the table. I think it's very useful to have them there. Thank you.
Okay, so we have different views. So Mats, I'll let you, make a call.
Well, so in the table, I think it's there. They don't destroy the flow of reading. So I think it's okay to have them there. I feel that they're not that necessary, but they could be there. So I don't feel strongly about that. In the text, I feel that they destroy the flow of reading. So I'll keep them and add them in the table, but remove them from the text, or Dennis, if you do that with your suggestions.
Yep, got it. All right, so what else do we have? So anything else on dotless I?
So we were supposed to be ready by today, we discussed it today. Should we discuss it again next time, or how should we work with this?
No, I think this is it, right? I think the conclusion, I don't think it's going to change, right? When you were doing the analysis, did you think of other solutions? I mean, I know what this is one solution. We talk about a couple of more, but unfeasible solutions. And my suggestion was to record those so that you can show IP. We went through this alternative as well, but I mean, those alternatives are not feasible because of one, backward compatibility, and two, the other one, that's not that does not do much in removing the issue as well. So the best case or the compromise is to have a violent relationship with these two in order to prevent misconnections, right?
Of course, there are other possibilities. I mean, besides removing I and Otlis I from repertoire, of course, logically it's possible to keep them as non-variants. And the one argument to that is that because in ASCII, DNS, capital I and small letter I are handled, treated as equivalent. Also in an Turkish locale or a local setting, a Turkish setting and an Azeri setting, because that is what the DNS protocol says. So from that perspective, you could argue that they are probably in some sense accustomed to that.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. Then you could argue that it's not needed to consider or have a special treatment for I, because they are already used to the confusion.
Right. Well, another thing to consider as well is the likelihood of having two domain names different. The only difference is the eyes, right? So we're talking about very, very low probability of two TLDs difference in an eye, and those in one of each of those TLDs with a difference in an eye have the same second level domain name.
Well, the same second level domain name, that's not very unlikely, because those are freely created and you can create something which is similar. You have generic terms, etc.
Well, but you're talking, dotless size is used in very specific languages, right? And it's likely that those TLDs are going to be used in very specific contexts and not widely used. So that's why I'm thinking that's a very unlikely scenario, but still we're thinking variant relationship is needed, right?
Right. So I agree with you that the situation is very special for this to happen. And the dotless I is, it's used in Turkish and Azerbaijan, but I don't know of any other languages. I assume that if you have both, then you probably have this uppercase lowercase relationship, unless your language has skipped uppercase. So I guess this is limited to those two.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a special environment that this would happen in.
Yeah, sounds like a very corner case.
It is, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the risk of the cost of blocking is probably very low too.
Yeah, if they are blocked, I mean it's blocked, right? But, yeah.
So I will add a more discussion text of the alternatives at the end of the text, and then I will send it out. to the mailing list, mm-hmm. and please review and send your comments. Right. If someone can help me to make the headline get being numbered automatically, then please do that. I failed to make 673 automatically based on it being a headline, numbered headline.
Right.
When
right.
I tried.
On that one, Matt, I'm thinking because of this, the proposal is getting bigger and bigger as we incorporate more narrative into it. So what I'm thinking, and that's something that I did with the Sharp S, is that all the discussion, the alternative, the rationale, etc., it's built in a separate document that we can use as an appendix, and we can use just the main proposal to put the summary of it, just the conclusion of it, with a short description as to the conclusion, but point to the complete rationale to the appendix, so that it's the flow of reading the proposal is easier.
Okay.
So, and that will, also we'll take care of the numbering issue later.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you can take all your text to a separate Google Doc and just, appendix dotless, dotless I case and just start, just copy paste what you have here.
Okay.
And we'll find a way to just transport the a small portion of it to the main proposal, but point to the appendix for full details.
But isn't the risk if we break out that we end up not knowing what all the documents are?
Well, our project plan is helping us to keep everything, on the radar. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else on dotless I? Nirjana, please go ahead.
No, nothing about dotless I, but I just wanted to point that in every agenda, I am putting at the end the reminder with links to every document we have produced up to date. So we won't lose anything. That's my response to Mats. Yeah.
That's good.
If you look at the agenda, in the reminders, you have all the working documents at this moment, and I'm adding every time we are producing something, I'm adding in this reminder. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Are you sure you have the group back to you, Mirjana? I'm done.
Yeah, I have nothing else to do. I have not planned anything, although we together planned this meeting today. So I have just to conclude that our next meeting will be on July the 4th. And before that, I have to contact, because you won't be on this meeting, Dennis, you won't be there. So I have to contact Michael to see if his contribution on non-visual, whatever we have done, is ready, and try to discuss this document. If Michael's document is not, is not ready, I don't think we might start looking to the other comments in the report, not connected to variants, to clean everything else than variants from the report. I mean, all comments from the report, and to do something. So I hope that's how I understood today's meeting. And is there anyone else who wants to say something? Bill, your hand is up.
Yes, since we're looking at the schedule, we're currently scheduled to look at the stacking issues the week of July 8th, but I think that's that will be ready the week of July 1st. So I don't know if we're talking, if we do talk about non-visual, we may not have time to get to it, but it is, I think it will be available for discussion if we have time to get to it.
Okay, these stacking issues will be ready for July the 4th. Okay, yeah. I noted this. And one of these two items will be discussed on the July the 4th, because we have 2 weeks and we shall see how the things will progress. I will contact you and Michael before July the 4th and see which document is ready for discussion. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill. Anything else? Any hands up? No? Oh, we are ready. It's 9 minutes before the time, but I will. I plan to close the meeting now to thank you all for this fruitful meeting, and have nice holidays and the rest of the day, and we shall convene again at July the 4th. Bye, everyone. Have nice Bye. Rest of the day. Bye. Bye. Thank you Bye. All. Thank you all. Bye. Thank you, Piti Nantu. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.